Hello and welcome to Worship Conversations, a podcast by Awakened Generation. We are a worship missions organization based in Singapore with a passion to equip and empower the church in all things worship. We have yet another brand new podcast series called Mentor Me, where we discuss questions about life we all probably have as we desire to worship and live for the Lord. On today's episode, we talk about mentorship and its role in discipleship. Let's get to it. Welcome back to another episode of Worship Conversations, a podcast by Awakened Generation. And this is a new series that we're putting out.
Yeah.
Called Mentor Me.
Me.
We love a good alliteration in Awakened Generation.
Delphine.
We have Deep Dive and we have Mentor Me.
Yes, we love the alliteration.
Yeah. So what is this podcast series about?
Yeah, well, you know, in Awakened Generation, we run a worship school. And one of the things that we have is one-to-one mentorship times with our worship school students. Very, very powerful. Many encounters with God in those times. But we realized that our students ask a lot of great questions that I think many of you listening might also have. So we thought that we'd create just a series on podcasts that would address the questions that many of our students have that is relevant to all of us as worshipers.
That's right. And, you know, maybe on the first episode, we can talk about mentorship. Mentorship is a big thing in Awakened Generation. Is one of our key pillars, I would say. Key values, mentorship. Have you had any key spiritual mentors in your life, or do you have at the moment?
Yes, I do. But I think maybe before we go into that question, I just had an image come into my mind that I thought would be helpful to have everyone sort of understand discipleship or mentorship, right?
That's good.
So the picture that comes to me is a garden. And I'm remembering that, one of my favorite passages is John 15, right? Mm. About Jesus being the vine and that we are the branches and that God the Father is the vine dresser or the gardener, right? And so oftentimes when I think about mentorship, discipleship, I kind of think about that process of a plant sort of growing, right? That when a plant grows, part of the discipleship process is that you help nurture what is good, and then you cut out what is not so good, what is not going to help the plant or the garden. And there's also pruning, which is that even if it's growing well, you still cut it so they can grow more.
Yes, that's right.
And I think that nicely, so to me, kind of sums up the whole discipleship process. Why is discipleship important? It's because it's God's heart for nurturing his people.
Yeah, that's good.
There's different parties involved, so to speak. There's different groups of people involved in your life.
Yeah,
I think no man can be on his own island. I mean, that's where the enemy comes in, and he wants you to be isolated so that you get caught up in your own world and decisions and so forth, and you fall into your own folly.
That's right.
If you're not walking wisdom, and so that's, I think what Eloise shared is very important, that actually there's so much that's involved in mentorship and discipleship, in planting, in watering, in nurturing, in pulling out the weeds. These are all part of the life of a disciple. More importantly, are we following Jesus? Because that's what discipleship is about. It's a disciplined follower of Christ. And I know that we use the word mentorship because mentorship is almost like that you're journeying together. I think that there's a similarity, but I think when you're mentoring, invites you to a journey of the discipleship lifestyle of following Jesus. We are mentoring each other so that we can follow Jesus, so that we can be his disciple.
Mentoring is something that I think I really only came across the last
4 or 5 years, I had someone come to me and said, like, this is the first time it's ever happened, okay, to me. She said, I feel like the Lord is calling me to mentor you in the area of evangelism and discipleship. And that was actually my beginning of mentorship, like the idea of mentoring.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because before that, it was like I had leaders. I had bosses. But I didn't necessarily feel all the time that they played that role of journeying with me. Like as I grew, as I faced my struggles, as I was a very immature young person that needed a lot of guidance and things like that. I felt like I was kind of, that there wasn't that place, that person in my life. And so, you know, the value of mentorship as a mentee is really that you have somebody who has kind of been slightly ahead of you in that journey of faith, that journey of life, and has a gifting or anointing in a certain area that that they're able to sow into your life and invest in you and journey with you. And I grew so much from those years of having that mentor in my life speak to me.
Yeah.
And call out stuff that is not true, call out lies that I was living in. Because sometimes when you're in it, you don't see it.
Yep.
And you need someone outside.
That's exactly why you need mentorship.
Yeah, someone outside to like tell you, do you know you always do this? I'm like, do I? Yeah, you do. Oh no. Yeah. Oh gosh, like I didn't even realize. Yeah, so I'm sure all of us have had that experience. Whether you are a mentor or a mentee, you've had that experience where you had to call out something or you were called out for something in your faith. So maybe we can just share like some of those stories because I think they're nice to hear.
I actually remember Calvin's story. You should share the battle story. I love it so much.
Starting out strong.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Calvin Hong.
So good.
Yeah, I know, I'm very blessed that I have, I mean, I think because of how the word discipleship have been misused and abused in many ways. I mean, I grew up in a generation where sometimes discipleship is all about doing more of the job work rather than actually having that relationship aspect. That's right. And so I think that's why it's been frowned upon. But I feel like, the word discipleship was never, I mean, it was the way how Jesus spoke. I mean, these are my disciples. And ultimately, whoever that I'm discipling, they're not my disciple, they are the Lord's disciples. And I just get to disciple them. Of course, now they use the word more, I think more friendly is the word mentoring, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I had about maybe 4 or 5 different men that kind of discipled me in different stages of my adulthood. And they all are very different. And I love that. And I will even call them more or less of like a spiritual fathers to me.
Yeah.
Because it's part of fathering, right? Whether they are older or they are younger or so forth. And so one of my fond memories, I mean, I have so much stories to tell.
I like that one.
You like that one? I'll tell you the one that,
Ellery's likes.
The Ellery's like. I remember that I struggled. I mean, today I love praying.
Yeah.
And the reason why I love and enjoy praying is because I didn't know how to pray properly. And I remember that I don't know why, when we were on campus, university campus, I was part of campus ministry, and I was actually radically safe in campus ministry, and brought back to my love for the Lord. And prayer meetings as at 6:30 in the morning at campus. I'm not an early riser, and so like to get me up by 8 o'clock is already a dreadful thing already. But so, you know, my pastor would tell me, Calvin, we're going to pray 6:30 in the morning in the campus. And that's 6:30 in campus. So I live like 25 minutes or 30 minutes away from the campus in North Shore, where I grew up in Auckland. And so my pastor would pick me up, and then because I didn't have a car, right? So, university student, you carpool. But I remember one time that my pastor came and picked me up, and I thought I set my alarm at like, 6 o'clock. You know, by the time he picks me up, we can go get ready. And by the time I woke up, I realized I overslept and my alarm, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so late. But in my mind, I'm thinking, oh yeah, Pastor John, he wouldn't, I'm sure, Pastor Dave or Pastor John, these two guys always pick me up. I'm sure they probably would have left me and so forth. Because I live in the front of my bedroom's in the front of the house. I open a window. My pastor is in the car with his engine running. And what makes it more, oh man, more convicting for me was that he's reading his Bible, having coffee and just reading his Bible in the car. So I'm going, oh man, got changed and then ran down a car, you know, with a uni, you know, everything. And I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. I'm like, actually this happened a few times. just like struggling to just even go to prayer. I mean, sometimes like, nah, don't pick me up. But
yeah.
My pastor refused, you know, not to, you know, want to pick me up. And so, wow. But I remember this time, this like third or fourth time. And we were in car, it was silence. And then my pastor turned around, looked at me and says, Cham, he calls me Cham, you know. If you want a leader, you got to learn how to pray. And you got to learn how to pray. You got to discipline yourself to show up. I said, yes, sir. And so that's my so pruning good. Moment, you know, being pruned. And I wasn't offended, but I was like, wow, this means, you know, but just the fact that they would stay up, you know, and waited for me,
yeah.
It shows that they are.
Again and again.
And again and again. And they were walking me through, helping me to cross over, to get discipline in a sense.
Yeah.
But the other one I think Eldridge loved is the one that when, you know, we will pray together in a circle, maybe about 30, 40 students. You know, at that time, you know, I love, you know, I started, you know, nobody wants to pray. And so, you know, they would even use like a toy or soft toy or a ball and then they pass around, can you pray? All the different methods just to get us praying students. And so I thought that I'll be brave, you know, and I memorized my scriptures, I know my word. And then, you know, I stepped out and began to pray and I began to prophesy. Oh, this is what the Lord's saying, blah, blah, blah. Prophesy and praying for a good 5 minutes and my words were eloquent and I was like, man, you know.
On fire.
And I feel so good about it. I walked off the circle and I came back and I was like, man, I feel like, man, I
did a good job.
I hit the spot, you know, and I, you know.
I'm felt. The prophet.
And then there's my late pastor, Beto Chapa, who, you know, who passed on. And by that time he was the evangelist and he was the campus pastor. He just walked around the room. He came next to me, he put his hand on my shoulder and he kind of hugged me. I thought, oh man, I'm going to receive a word of encouragement. And he whispered to my ears where everyone's still praying. It's like, Cham, that's not of the spirit, man. That's of the flesh. And he walks off. I mean, you got to understand, Beto is like 6'3", 6'2", 6'3". He was like a Mexican-American.
And he whispered.
He looks like Big Show. I mean, if any of you like watching like wrestling, WWF, the real wrestling one, you know. And like, you know, and so I looked at him. He just walks away and going, oh my goodness, what would you? So my balloon was just deflated. And I was so offended actually after that. And man, you can imagine your pastor just rebuke you after amazing prayer that you had with all the eloquence, words, and all the scriptures. And I didn't speak for him for a couple of weeks because I was just offended in my heart. Wow. I said, how dare you?
Wow.
You know, you know, everything that plays in your mind, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to come to prayer meeting anymore. You know, let's get some other Asian students praying, everything. But during those 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, not that we didn't see each other, it's just that I ignore him or I didn't. But I realized the Lord was saying, Kelvin, the Lord loves you, you know, I love you and I'm putting father figures in your life to help shape you. Don't let your offense hinder from your breakthrough.
Wow.
And he's trying to father you by helping you sharpening what you're saying. And actually when I did a deep, deep search in my heart, If I was really honest, I was trying to please man more than I want to please the Lord in my prayer.
Yeah.
I was more concerned about what I say and how I say so that everyone will get applause.
Yeah.
Will applaud me for that.
Yeah.
And so I finally went back to him and I say, hey, Beto, you know, I just want to share with you that I want to ask for forgiveness because I was so offended by what you say to me. But actually, what you say was very true.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to listen to it because you helped saw the pride in my heart. You saw the insecurity in me and you called it out. And I just didn't want to listen to it. But the Holy Spirit convicted me and I want to apologize and ask for your forgiveness. And I remember after that, he's like, Cham, no worries, man. God loves you. And he hugs me and he's like, man, I'm here because, you know, I believe that you're great. I mean, he was the one that really sharpened my evangelistic skill set or my gifting. But it's a couple of weeks after that, man, you know, we're in the same prayer meeting and I didn't want to pray, man. I was like just standing there and just burnt, like burnt. Just watching and like, but I knew the Lord was giving me a word. And so this time Beto came around and he again whispered to my ear. I'm going, okay, what's he trying to say? He's like, hey Cham, I feel like the Lord has a word for you to encourage people in this room here. Why don't you step out? And I'm going, in my mind, I'm going, oh nah, man, I'm not gonna get. But a part of me just felt like, wow, here is a father figure, here is a pastor who here's somebody who could have just picked somebody else, but instead he was able to build me back up.
Wow.
And saying, step out again, even though you made a mistake,
so good.
But step out again. And so I remember I stepped out. I had the fear of the Lord in me. I'm praying like crazy. I'm like, Lord, you know, God, I want to pray in such a way that it matters to you.
Yeah.
And he releases what you want me to release so that I can encourage somebody.
That's good.
I stepped out and I pray and prophesy. That very prayer point, like literally brought everybody to their knees and cry. And like, it was the word of the Lord. And that day, he taught me something that I needed to know, that I can't pray words that are just, you know, airy-fairy. There needs to be that reverence and that understanding that when I'm releasing, I'm actually releasing his words to encourage people.
Wow.
That was a starting point of shaping me. So that was one of my mentoring moments of discipleship.
That pastor.
Pruning left and right.
That pastor is legit.
What a powerful story.
Yeah, yeah. So that's
I
one
know.
Of my stories.
And it's like, you know, Jesus was like one of the best mentors ever.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, he allowed them to travel with him. Because if I were him, I'll be like, hello, disciples, please find your own way there. Like, don't bother me. But he's like, no, let's stay together. Let's do everything together.
But I mean, why I love this story as well is because like disciples are like spiritual fathers and mothers, right, in a way. And like such growth happens in our lives when we open up our heart for alignment and correction.
That's right.
Not for condemnation. But I feel like one of the battles that this generation will face, I mean, because we know how politically correct things are now.
Yes.
And almost like, maybe for this generation, sometimes it's hard, you know, for them to discern what is actually abuse or condemnation and what is actually correction. Because it's very different. And if you close your heart, you know, to discipleship and correction because you think anything negative spoken of you is abuse, then you're not going to live in the fullness of what that's God has for you, because so much growth happens when we allow people to speak into our lives. And it's not condemnation. You know, it's come up higher. You know, it's like, oh, this part is like what, you know, what we were saying about pruning, you know, like you're going to grow so much more, but in this direction, in the right direction. And I feel like we need to intentionally, fight for that openness of heart in this generation, that we are hungry, not just open but hungry to receive revelation and alignment from spiritual leaders. Because it's such a gift. You know, when I hear Calvin's story, it's like, oh my gosh, it makes me cry. Because what a gift. Because and I feel like in our culture now, like, people are so afraid to even say the truth to someone. Yeah, they're so afraid because they're just so afraid of offending people.
Yeah.
And like, that's to the detriment of the church, to be honest.
Yeah
like right. when you don't speak the truth in love, when you choose to just put things under the carpet. You know, and will you get some people who get seriously offended and you know, choose to be bitter at you? I mean, probably. Yeah. But I mean, that's something that they have to deal with between them and God, right? Like, you know, this person was trying to speak to my life, and because of my pride and insecurity, I'm choosing the path of unforgiveness and bitterness. That's right. Is that you have to deal with that with the Lord.
And I want to say that again, he didn't offend me for the sake of offending me. He offended my mindset to address the heart issue, which is my insecurity. And I think sometimes we forget that. Actually, I remember somebody says, "Oh, Jesus is very loving. He will never, condemn or confront or offend you." I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
What Jesus are you reading about?
Peter, to Peter, get behind me, Satan.
I mean,
my favorite moment.
From the moment that the Lord says, Peter, on the revelation, you're the rock, you know, I'll build my church and you'll build a rock. And next thing is like, get behind me, Satan. You know, in our generation, we probably would be keyboard warriors and say abusive pastor.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think about it. The part where, you know, Jesus preached a very controversial message. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And all the thousands of crowd just begin to evacuate. And then disciples like, Jesus, what are you doing? What did you say there?
Yeah.
You know, and then I love Jesus, man. The way how he turned around and looks at him and says, do you want to go too? Go ahead. I'm not here to appease. And I think that, again, it's confidence and conviction.
Yes.
And that's an encouragement for me that, especially when we are, if you are discipling or you're mentoring somebody, I think you need to have the conviction who you are and what you stand for as well. It's not like you are, cutting off any branches, cutting anything. But I think that needs to be a revelation that I live with such a mindset that am I going to offend the person that I'm discipling and they might leave me and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Not because I need more people to be my friends or I don't need to build a discipleship group. Because that is life. And I'd rather be the person that tells you the truth in love but being hated for that, and then to find out at the end that everybody's telling you the thing that you want to hear, but nobody's telling you the right thing.
Wow.
Then you find out and you stand at the end, it's like climbing into a building and hoping that's the building that you're supposed to be, and you end up in the wrong building.
Yeah.
And wonder why nobody told me that. Mm. I can't live with that.
Yeah.
And at least not to say that to give my peace of mind, but to say that, hey, at least I'm telling you the truth. What do you do with the truth? It's up to you.
Yeah.
And you either can be pruned right now or you can be cut off and thrown to somewhere else.
That's right.
Whew. Yeah. I know you have a scripture to share.
Yeah, so Hebrews 12 actually says, you know, it's pretty... I should read the Message version because it's pretty sassy.
Sure.
Yep.
So Hebrews 12, you can read the ESV or the NIV on your own, but here's what the Message version says. My dear child, this is verse 4-11. My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment. It's training. The normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves.
Right.
Would you prefer an irresponsible God?
In your face.
So good. And then he says this at the end, verse 14-17. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you will never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. Mm. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for the Esau syndrome. Trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite.
Yeah.
You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing. Mm. But by then, it was too late. Tears or no tears.
Ooh.
And I think that's like, you know, when we talk about the garden, right? Like mentorship is like a garden. It's like your life is the garden, and mentorship invites people into that place to help prune and help keep that garden. And I think one big part of approaching mentorship is that you have to be careful not to allow bitterness
to fester in
your heart when you have spiritual leaders that come in to bring correction, even if you might find the way they said it is not like
it's like you wish pleasing, you like that's it better differently, or something.
But the moment you become bitter or resentful towards the leader, you are basically like cutting off that spiritual inheritance
the
that
blessing.
You have in that house.
That's right.
That you're a
that's
part
right.
of.
Come on, preach it.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think something that I want to share and encourage our listeners, you know, even as we're going through the Mentor Me like series, like we are only podcasters, you know, we are far away from you guys. We can only share, you know, like what we feel from far away, and you can listen for knowledge and all that stuff. But, you know, real mentorship and discipleship happens where you're at, in your churches, in your communities.
Yep.
So, you know, walk in that relationship with your spiritual mentors.
Yeah.
And they may not call themselves your mentors specifically, but I mean, all of us have leaders above us, placed above us, pastors.
Yeah.
And we can defer to them as our spiritual mentors.
I think this is my own conviction. I will never, not say never, but it's just not me. And Lewis knows that as well. I don't say, I'm his disciple, her disciple, his disciple. I think it's a privilege when somebody is able to acknowledge, oh, wow, Calvin is my mentor, or Calvin is someone who's discipling me. I think that's great because it takes both ways as well.
Yeah.
But I also I want to encourage that, you know, like I think actually more and more recently, I every time I have a mentoring session with a student or somebody, I find that a lot of them don't even know how to start. Actually, how do I seek a mentor? How do I seek someone to disciple me? I think you need to have that relationship, first of all, to build that trust. Yeah. You just don't ask any Tom, Dick, and Harry to mentor you, right?
That's right.
And I think sometimes you look for the form or you look for the gift. That is actually, I mean, importantly, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, who have you revealed to me?
Yeah.
That carries humility, that carries the weight of, I think, even as has the, you know, the weight of a spiritual father and mother, you know, fatherly, motherly, so to speak. And then, you know, don't have to be weird about it, how to approach them. Hey, Delphine, you are, thus the Lord says that you are the one that is, I deputize you to be. No, just be normal. Just say, hey, you know, again, approach in humility and actually value that person.
Yeah.
Hey, say, you know, like, hey, Delphine, you know, if you're a sister, you know, hey, Delphine, I just want to say I really appreciate the way how you have led your life and the way how I see you lead and the way how you steward your calling, your anointing. You know, I just want to, I pray about it and I felt like I want to approach and ask for an invitation for if you were willing to speak into my life.
Yeah, that's good.
And because I see that there are qualities and there are also, you know, things that you carry that I long to lean on and learn from as well.
Yeah,
I think that's a good approach, and of course, it sees is you're actually opening up your heart and actually humbling yourself to invite that person, rather than, hey, you know, you can disciple me because you can mentor me because I'm that special. It doesn't happen that way. It's a seek for it, but in the same way as well, if you're a person that has you know grown up and you're mature, and I think that's what we all need here right now. This generation, they need all fathers and mothers and spiritual mentors. Don't be shy away to build that relationship with that person and say, hey, and again, you don't have to quote unquote to be official. Just say, hey, love to catch up with you and I want to hear your heart. See, it can be relational. I think that's important, building that trust. And then that chemistry. And then, you know what? Then organically it will happen.
That's right.
And so, I mean, again, look at mentors as anchors in your life.
Yeah.
And why do you need anchors? It's so that when the storms get crazy, the anchors hold you down and keep you stable.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are lost in the ocean with fear and different things, and they get caught up, and you ask them, how in the world did you get in here? I didn't have anybody to talk to because you didn't have anchors.
Yeah.
And so we need anchors and mentors and people that gives us wisdom and sound. But at the end, it comes back to the scripture, comes back to what does the Lord say?
That's right.
And so even as I'm mentoring a lot of different individuals, I always bring it back. Now you hear my sound, you hear my wisdom, but you need to go back and ask the Lord, what did he say? Does it align with that? If I'm not discipling you, not mentoring you from scriptures, from the God's word, you better run away from me. And I made it very clear for that.
Yeah. And by the way, when you ask someone to mentor you, disciple you, yes, of course, should be, you know, ready to receive all the great things like the affirmations and the encouragement. But make sure when you ask someone to mentor you that you better be ready to receive things that you necessarily don't want to hear.
That's so true.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, for Calvin and I, like now when, you know, different people ask us, you know, can you speak into my life? I'm like, sure, would love to if the Lord says yes. But the prerequisite is that, hey, when something, you know, goes off in your life, on your character, do you give me permission now when that happens to speak into your life?
Yeah.
Because if you don't want that, then this is not for you.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, you don't ask someone to mentor you just because you want to, I don't know, maybe be associated with someone who has a certain gift, or that you just want, you know, all the affirmations,
yeah,
and
yeah.
But make sure that you are ready to also walk in alignment with God, with that person guiding you.
That's right. It's good. Solid stuff.
Yeah, and I think there's one more picture that came into my mind, maybe to close this.
Picture.
But actually, I remember the time that when Calvin and I were in Hong Kong with his nephews, and so I think we were in a mall, and so you know, two nephews, right, both boys, you know, they love to like kick each other, fight, everything, and so Calvin was standing next to them when the older brother kicked the younger brother while he was looking away, and so then the younger brother like looked around and Calvin was standing right there, so he thought it was Calvin, so he kicked Calvin thinking that it was Calvin that kicked him rather than his older brother. Yeah, and so Calvin was like, why did you kick me?
Yes.
And he was very upset. He was he couldn't even express, but obviously he needed correction,
yes,
right? Because you don't just go around kicking people.
That's right.
And so, you know, Calvin, he was going to a full meltdown already. He was like, you need to apologize to uncle because you kicked me. I didn't kick you. And so then he was going through a meltdown because he didn't want to apologize. And then Calvin said, okay, you're going to sit right here in this trolley and we're just going to walk around. You can cry all you want, but you need to apologize to uncle. And when you apologize, then things can go back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so he was like, you know, throwing a tantrum until he calmed down. He calmed down and he looked at Uncle Calvin and said, I'm sorry, Uncle Calvin.
So cute.
And then Calvin, you know, took him off the trolley and said, okay, now we can, you know, continue with our day again. And I noticed for the rest of the day, he was so clingy to Calvin. Like, he always just wanted to hold Calvin's hand.
Yeah,
he wanted to just...
Yeah.
And I realized, like, wow, that's a beautiful picture of discipline, right?
That's
like,
right.
At first, we may not like it. And, you know, we kind of, like, fight back. But actually, you know, when we surrender and we realize God's way is better, you actually, there's a safety to it. And
that's
why I felt like why Calvin's nephew was so clingy to him afterwards, because he felt safe with Uncle Calvin. That is like, it feels safe and secure, and you can be confident knowing that you are in the boundaries of God, that He is watching over you and protecting you with the boundaries that he knows is for your best. Yeah, it's for your best interest and not for your destruction. And so, yeah, so as we're talking about this topic of discipleship, mentorship, I think about that beautiful picture.
Wonderful. Wonderful picture.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All my stories.
Calvin is
I was there.
Calvin is the
observing
the lead mentor in this place.
But I had the revelation.
Yes, you did.
Right. So I'm excited as we go along this series with all the questions that our students have, and we pray that it will really help you. But again, the encouragement to journey with people around you, wherever you are placed, because we are only a podcast.
That's right.
You got to do things
get
in
connected.
Relationship.
Yeah, spiritual family.
And open your eyes to see, like, if you're looking for a mentor, like, open your eyes, okay? It may not be the most charismatic person in the room that you think should disciple you. It could be the very quiet
person
that has just has something about the steadfastness that you feel that you really need in your life. So ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right people. And if you're older and mature... more mature, we need fathers and mothers in this land.
That's
the next generation really
Absolutely.
Needs wise people who would like bring loving encouragement and correction to young people so that we can raise up a generation that goes in the ways of the Lord.
That's right.
And you know, if you feel this like unqualified or whatever, I mean, just lean into the Lord and the Lord will lead people to you and the right people. And it's exciting. Mentoring is great.
Yes.
Agreed. Do you want to 100%. Pray to close?
Yes, let's pray.
Awesome.
Father, you say in your word in Hebrews 12 that you discipline those whom you love. And Lord, the ultimate motivation is love, not abuse. Mm-hmm. And so many of us, Lord, we have lived under the wrong mindset and fear and trauma of abuse, whether it is words that's been spoken, whether it is things that we have been offended because of the way how we're treated. But Lord, I thank you for the invitation that you are giving to pursue love. And Lord, I thank you that we're not illegitimate when we are disciplined by you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for even those you bring about in our life, because you use as men and women to shape and to model that for us, Lord. And I pray for anyone who's in this room listening to the podcast and watching, Lord, I pray, Father, that even there will be a desire for them to say, hey, I would like to receive. I would like to receive. I'd like to receive from someone who can speak into my life to be in a mirror for me, to call out the blind spots, to help prune the areas that in my life that are not bearing fruit, so that when it's pruned, I can bear much more fruit, and fruit that will remain. And Lord, I pray for that invitation. I pray for that open doors for that. Mm. Lord, and it begins with us stepping out. It begins with us building relationally as well. And Lord, we do not despise, Lord, the day of small beginnings of those, Lord, we connect with. And Lord, in itself, we cannot judge the book by its cover. But many times, Lord, we don't know who the person that will come can be the person that will release breakthrough by their sharing, by their wisdom. And Father, I do pray for those of us who are at a place where we feel like, is there any way that I can contribute, I can give, I can be a blessing to the next generation? I pray for that to awaken their heart and spirit to say, Lord, I will take up that baton to mentor and disciple those who needs fathers and mothers in the spirit, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, your economy is built upon family, not by necessarily what we call institution. Everything is by family. Mm. And that has order of father and mother, son and daughter, brothers and sisters. And so, Lord, we just pray, Father, that, Lord, that you will begin to open hearts and open doors for us to connect and to say yes to this, Lord, so that many, many would walk in wholeness, and many would, Lord, would build families, and so that the next generation can be blessed, and this generation can be blessed too. So I ask of that, Father, that we thank you that Lord, that you is the one that ordained this. That's why, Jesus, you were able to make disciples, and you give us that great commission of making disciples, to immerse them in the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is family. Love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we give thanks for that. We pray that you bless everyone who has listened to this, and that be a starting point of the conviction of them to say yes to pursuing a mentoring relationship. We pray that we ask of that in your most precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We hope this Mentor Me episode has been enriching for you. Do you have a question you'd like to ask? You can send us a DM via our social media or through our podcast account. That's all we have for today. See you next time for another episode of Mentor Me.